This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Black holes, the cosmos, space and time travel, science and technology, brought to you by theoretical physicist, futurist, popularizer of science, and world-renowned author, Professor Michio Kaku,
at GCNlive.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. On Science Fantastic, we profile the amazing, jaw-dropping scientific discoveries that are touching our lives and changing the way we view the world. And today, we're going to talk about the space program with a seasoned astronaut. Astronaut Tom Jones has been in outer space for 53 days in total. Think about that, 53 days in the weightlessness of outer space on four space shuttle missions, and he also led three spacewalks. Let me also say that if you want more information, go to my website. My website is mkaku.org, M-K-A-K-U.org, or my Facebook site, Michio Kaku. We have 3 million fans on Facebook, and I have a new book coming out on the space program. It's going to come out in late February, and I'll be on a book tour. Maybe I'll be signing your copy of The Future of Humanity, talking about the space program 50, 100, thousands of years into the future when we terraform Mars, we go past the solar system and even venture into the galaxy itself. A scientific view of what it would be like to become a multi-planet species. We need an insurance policy because it's simply too precious to put all of Homo sapiens on one planet. So once again, our special guest is Tom Jones, the astronaut. He's the author of a book, Ask the Astronaut, A Galaxy of Astonishing Answers to Your Questions on Spaceflight. So, Tom Jones, glad you could be on Science Fantastic once again.
Thank you, Professor. It's great to talk to you, and it's a great topic to take up with your audience.
Okay, and once again, let me ask you a simple question. How did you, as a youth, first get interested in becoming an astronaut?
Well, I was about 10 years old, growing up in Baltimore, Maryland, when we were caught up, everybody in my town was caught up in the excitement of the space race between the U.S. and the Soviet Union to see who could put a person on the moon first. And that took form in my experience with a trip to a rocket factory. I was a Cub Scout, and at 10 years old, my Cub Den went down on a field trip to the Martin Marietta factory in Middle River in the eastern section of Baltimore. And that's where they were building rockets to carry the Gemini astronauts into space. And to a 10-year-old looking up at two 100-foot-tall rockets being built right in the factory in my town, I thought that was the coolest thing that I'd ever seen, and I thought it was the coolest job I'd ever heard of to ride on top of one of those rockets and imagine myself going to places nobody had ever gone before, just like the Gemini and then later the Apollo astronauts were. So that's, I think, when the job of being an astronaut crystallized in my head.
Okay, well, let me ask you a question that I'm sure you get asked an awful lot, and that is, how do you apply to become an astronaut? It's like writing Santa Claus, right? Where do you send the letter? How do you get the wheels started to become an astronaut?
Well, the answer has changed over the last just 5 to 10 years, and that's because we have a lot of commercial space companies now entering the field, as well as the regular NASA astronaut corps and NASA's exploration program. So I apply to the NASA astronaut program. Today you might apply to that, or you might throw in your resume to one of the new space companies like Blue Origin or SpaceX or Virgin Galactic or a number of other competitors out there. And so the good news is you have lots of choices in terms of where you'd like to go to work. Some of those companies will have actually jobs in space. For the NASA Astronaut Corps, they've got a website. It's just called astronauts.nasa.gov. And if you go to that website, astronauts.nasa.gov, you'll find all the instructions on how to apply online to get into the astronaut competition, if you will. So back when I applied to the astronaut program, the year I was selected, they had 3,000 applications. We used to have to mail them in by surface mail. Today, you do that process online. And last year, 2017, when they selected 14 new astronauts, NASA got 18,000 applications. So the competition's getting stiffer. But the good news is that there are more options to apply to if you want to see a career in space for yourself.
And if you want to increase your chances of becoming selected for the astronaut program, what should you, for example, study in high school and college? Should you go for a military background? Should you become a scientist? Is there anything in particular, or the average person, can they become an astronaut?
I think it's moving towards a regular work or career choice to be in space as a space traveler, a space explorer, or a space worker. That's part of this next generation's future, I think. In fact, the last chapter of my book, Ask the Astronaut, is called Your Future in Space. And in that chapter, I talk about just your question and answering those kinds of questions. So the short answer is you need to be a scientist or an engineer to actually be a career person who gets to travel and work in space. Scientist or an engineer, and it can be anything from astronomy to zoology, A to Z. Just pick a subject that you're really interested in, that you are motivated to become an expert in, and once you're very good at it, then that's the kind of person NASA or these other companies are looking for. Then, of course, you've got to get some work experience, so you need a 4-year college degree in science or engineering, 3 years of work experience for the NASA program, and then you'll need a lot of good references from your professors and from your supervisors once you get some work experience under your belt. General good health is a very good thing to have to become a successful astronaut. And what NASA is really looking for is a team player, someone who wants the team to succeed, and they're willing to throw all of their talents and skills and determination into helping their team achieve a goal, whether that's getting humans back to the surface of the moon or building a commercial space station or hauling space tourists to orbit to experience that same thing that you've been lucky enough to experience. So it really matters that you've got a spirit of cooperation and a spirit of boosting your own team, and you're not in it for yourself.
Okay, well, the first astronauts were, of course, jet fighter pilots, seasoned pilots with thousands of hours piloting airplanes. But today, I guess, it's much broader. You don't have to be a jet fighter pilot to become an astronaut, right?
You're right. We don't require NASA astronaut candidates to be pilots when they walk in the front door. It is good practice, though, excellent experience to be a pilot or to have some aviation background, because we think, we being the astronaut corps, we think that the idea of being in an airplane cockpit, making decisions that really affect your well-being, you know, you could live or die by the decisions you make in an airplane. That kind of training, that kind of experience is very similar to what you encounter in spaceflight. So aviation is a good analog for spaceflight. Yet you do not have to be a pilot today. We've gone from the test pilot talent pool back in the 1960s through the space shuttle era when I was selected as a scientist to become an astronaut, even though I was an Air Force pilot before that. And today we have an era where you can walk in the door as a scientist or engineer, and NASA will give you the flying skills that it needs to see in you to become a successful astronaut. So you don't need to be a pilot, but it's a great hobby to pursue, and I guarantee it will reward you over the course of a lifetime with rewarding judgment, decision-making experience, as well as just the aesthetics of being up in the sky.
And talking about being up there in outer space, does it change your worldview to see the Earth without political boundaries, without all the squabbles and all the problems we have? Does it change your worldview to be an astronaut?
I think it does have an emotional impact on everyone who flies into space. So you look down at your own home world, and it's a cliche, you see the world without boundaries when you go up to space. But it is true, and it is marvelous to see our world, even from a couple of hundred miles up. You're not very far away on a space station of today, for example, but you can just imagine this entire world being a single ecological system, and you get the sense that we are space travelers on this giant spaceship Earth. And you're not just a passenger, you're one of the pilots. You're one of the crew members on this spaceship. And so you have a responsibility to see that this spaceship carries out its mission and preserves the health and safety of its passengers. So you do come back, I think, with an extra dose of appreciation of the fragility of our environment how we can work together.
Okay,
to
Tom, we have to take a short commercial break. Once again, you're listening to astronaut Tom Jones, author of the book Ask the Astronaut. And this is Dr. Michio Kaku on Science Fantastic, a weekly program where we talk about the cutting edge of science. Stay tuned now. After the break, we're going to talk about going back to the moon and then on to Mars.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com.
This is Michio Kaku. A few years ago, I asked business owners and listeners to help keep free speech alive across America on great stations just like this one. I called out and you responded. Businesses across the country became advertisers on many of the programs you listen to every day. To those business owners, I say thank you. And to the listeners who bought products and services from these sponsors, I thank you as well for your support of these courageous businesses. As a listener, you need to continue to buy from the businesses who advertise on this radio station. And if you're a business owner, get involved. Become an advertiser and reach the customers you need to reach. To find out more about how you can advertise on my shows or others on this station, get involved now by calling 877-474-6605. That's 877-474-6605. 877-474-6605.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, our special guest today is astronaut Tom Jones, author of the book, Ask the Astronaut, a galaxy of astonishing answers to your questions on spaceflight. And once again, he has spent 53 days in outer space on 4 separate space shuttle missions and 3 spacewalks. Well, it's been about 50 years, believe it or not, 50 years since we were on the moon. In between, we were on the space shuttle, of course, but some people say, well, that's not going into deep space outside the gravity field of the Earth. And now, President Donald Trump has said that, yes, we're going to go back to the moon and even to Mars. So, Tom, tell us a little bit about how things have changed, that once again, we're not talking just about a space shuttle. We're talking about going back to the moon with an unmanned rocket first, and then with a manned mission to the moon, and then on to Mars. What is it like to be an astronaut now?
I think it's pretty exciting. If you were in the astronaut corps at NASA today, you'd have the prospect of not only flying a mission to the International Space Station and doing all the research work up there for 6 months at a time, very rewarding and very intense work, but then you'd have the prospect of perhaps flying on one of the commercial transport ships that Boeing and SpaceX are bringing online next year. So you'd be taking an American transport from Cape Canaveral for the first time since we retired the shuttle in 2011. And then there's the new NASA spacecraft, the Orion, that's designated for deep space missions. Some of the astronauts working today will have the chance to fly that vehicle around the moon for the first time since 1972. That might happen in about 2021 or 2022, so about 50 years after our last journey to the moon, we should have people back in the moon's vicinity. And that will lead, according to the president's new policy, to a return of Americans with their partners from around the globe to the surface of the moon. And I think the big motivation there is not just to acquire the skills to someday go to Mars by working on another planet like the moon, another small planet, our companion in space, but it would also tap into the natural resources on the moon. I think humans have a role in setting up a mining operation on the moon where we extract water from the ices at the lunar poles and actually make money on the surface of the moon or on the nearby asteroids.
And speaking about that, there's a lot of talk about mining the asteroids and creating a new gold rush, just like the gold rush in California helped to open up the West. Some people think that asteroids are floating gold mines for rare earth materials that are, for example, used in the electronics industry, and that could help pay the way. So what are your thoughts about paying as you go by mining the moon and mining the asteroids?
I think that's exactly right. I think we're on the edge of a new frontier of commerce in space that's driven by the natural resources that are out there. So on the moon, it's water, which we can use for astronaut drinking water and oxygen for astronauts to breathe, but also the oxygen and hydrogen that we break the water down into, they serve as powerful chemical rocket propellants. So we can use that rocket propellant on the moon to explore it and then to ship it off the moon and perhaps fuel a ship to Mars in the near future. Beyond that, the asteroids, they're valuable, but not perhaps in the way we think of in terms of a conventional gold rush. They also have water on some of the asteroids. The minerals there can yield that same water that we can use for rocket propellant. But there are metallic asteroids. In fact, most asteroids have some iron and nickel left over from the formation of the solar system in their surface rocks. And if we can mine the water, then the leftovers, after you extract the water, leave a higher concentration of nickel and iron. And those two elements contain a high proportion dissolved in that nickel-iron mixture of platinum group elements. Now, we all know platinum is valuable in jewelry, but it's also a very valuable industrial catalyst, and there's not a lot of it on the Earth's crust. It's all sunk to the core when the Earth formed 4.5 billion years ago. So we could use these asteroids enriched in platinum group elements to help supply our industrial needs back here on the Earth.
So isn't there a program to retrieve an asteroid to literally bring it back to the planet Earth? And some people think that even if we mine the moon or bring asteroids back, it could help pay the bills. But of course, first you have to retrieve an asteroid before you can talk about it. But isn't it true that there are plans and that organizations have seriously looked at the idea of roping in an asteroid?
Well, I'm a science advisor, professor, to one asteroid mining company. It's called Planetary Resources, Inc., and they are set up, of course, to first prospect with robots and then visit with robots and extract materials like, first of all, water, and then, again, these platinum group elements as a byproduct. And they've got investors who are looking down the line 10, 15, 20 years to see their returns finally come in. There's another company called Deep Space Industries that's planning to do the same thing. So both these companies and others are in the phases of testing the spacecraft that they'll use for prospecting the asteroids, and then they'll have to invent the robots that can actually go down to the surface and extract the product there. Let's say you fill a tank with water that you've extracted from that asteroid, and you just ship the tank back to the space between the Earth and the Moon rather than the entire asteroid. So there was a NASA program to pick up a boulder off a large asteroid nearby and then ship that boulder back into an orbit around the moon. But that's been tabled for the time being in favor of the near-term goal of returning astronauts to the orbit and surface of the moon.
Okay, and also, didn't NASA recently have a press conference where they laid out a multi-step program to go to Mars? First, create a new space station around the moon. A mini space station, smaller than the one we have going around the Earth. But yes, a space station around the moon, giving us a permanent presence on the moon. And then leapfrogging from there to Mars. So tell us a little bit about this intermediate step of building a space station around the moon.
Well, the reason that's attractive is that the moon is only about 3 days away by rocket ship from Earth. The Apollo astronauts would take a three-day trip outbound to the lunar orbit and then go down to the surface of the moon. So if we establish a little outpost, a laboratory, to visit periodically during the course of a year around the moon, we could have astronauts out there 3 days outbound, let's say. They could spend 2 weeks to a month at this outpost, controlling robots down on the surface of the moon and also constructing the elements of a future Mars craft. In about 20 years, we ought to be ready to start building a transport ship that can actually get us to Mars. And we would do that at this deep space gateway, which would be in orbit around the moon. I think we can look 10 years from now, and we'll have all of our International Space Station partners involved with assembling a lunar lander at that gateway. And so the astronauts at this outpost will assemble the vehicle, the machine they need to go down to the surface of the moon, and that same kind of assembly technique will come in handy when we go out farther to visit a nearby asteroid or eventually go to Mars.
And also, let's mention the Chinese effort. The Chinese have made no secret about the fact that by 2025, they expect to see Chinese astronauts stick the Chinese flag in the moon. And won't that cause a certain amount of competition? A new space race, that is, the moon is going to be a target for not just robotic missions, but manned missions to our nearest celestial neighbor. What are your thoughts?
It's a new era, of course, in space flight and space exploration, and the Chinese are certainly worthy competitors to the U.S. and its longstanding partnership at the International Space Station. So I do think the Chinese believe it's important for them to prove their technical expertise by going to the surface of the moon with robots, and then astronauts will probably plan on getting there between 2030 and 2035 based on their current progress. And, of course, they can accelerate that if they choose to spend more money on the problem. Now, the U.S. has already been to the surface of the moon, so there's no reason to race our Chinese competitors, our colleagues in space, if you will. But we might see that both countries combine their efforts in the 2020s to establish this return of humans to the moon, along with our other international partners. For example, the Japanese and the Russians have both expressed a big interest in getting their astronauts via partnership, via cooperation, to the moon, along with the European Space Agency. So I see it pretty likely that after the Chinese build their own little space station around the Earth, they may see it as advantageous to join up with our consortium to put humans back on the moon. I hope we don't duplicate efforts. After all, the Chinese would be duplicating what we did 50 years ago if they just choose to repeat the Apollo program. I hope they could jump on board a more advanced effort to collaborate in reaching and exploring the moon.
And isn't there a commercial venture to put a small robot on the moon called Moon Express? They've actually gotten permission, governmental permission, to put a small lander on the moon to scout out the moon for minerals and water and things like that. Could you elaborate on efforts to put robots on the moon?
There are private efforts, Professor, to get small landers and rovers on the surface of the moon. This is part of a competition called the Google Lunar X Prize. And a number of the teams have...
Tom, we have to take a short commercial break, but right after the break, we're going to continue a discussion of the moon and then on to Mars, because that seems to be the real go sometime in the 2030s. Once again, this is Dr. Michio Kaku, and this is Science Fantastic. Stay tuned as we continue our discussion with astronaut Tom Jones, author of the book Ask the Astronaut, as we talk about the planet Mars.
You're listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today. Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Here's a special message for those of you who owe the IRS at least $10,000 or more in back taxes. The IRS has special programs in place that could eliminate or reduce your tax debt by thousands of dollars. Call the Federal Tax Management Helpline that has been set up for you, 800-503-8625. Stop the wage garnishments, levies, and tax liens now. Once you've qualified and enrolled, the IRS will stop all the collection activities against you. These unique programs have been allocated to help the economy and significantly reduce or eliminate your tax burden. The IRS is currently accepting reduced settlements and other favorable programs. You may qualify for substantial savings, so get the help you need. If you owe more than $10,000 in taxes, call for free information and to see if you qualify. Take down the number now for the Federal Tax Management Hotline, 800-503-8625. That's 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutral the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's F-I-V-E starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. And our special guest today is astronaut Tom Jones, author of the book Ask the Astronaut. He has spent 53 days floating in outer space. He's been on 4 space shuttle missions and has supervised 3 spacewalks above the planet Earth. And we are now talking about not just the moon, but going on to Mars. Now, you mentioned the fact that it takes 3 days, which is almost nothing to go to the moon. But to go to Mars is going to take about 2 years.
for a round-trip mission. So tell us a little bit about the difficulties of weightlessness, radiation, accidents, and sheer boredom of spending a two-year mission to Mars when our astronauts usually spend just a few days going to the moon.
I think solving problems of getting to Mars are a big reason why we built the International Space Station. I think when I was at the space station, we added a big U.S. laboratory, a research facility to check out some of these problems involved with getting to Mars, to test the technologies, the biomedical improvements that we need to get astronauts there safely. So, as you say, 2.5-year round trip to Mars would challenge astronauts on a number of fronts. There's the weightless exposure that you get on a 6 to 9 month one-way trip to Mars. You're in free fall or weightlessness, and of course your body, your muscles, your heart, your lungs starts to deteriorate unless you exercise frantically for about 2 hours every day to keep your health and cardio capacity up. And we also have the problem of losing skeletal bone mass. The calcium leaches out of your bones and is discharged from your body through your urine. And so you have a weakened skeleton when you arrive unless you do the right exercise protocol to prevent that. And topping that, the biggest challenge I see is the radiation environment. You know, the space station where I worked is within the Earth's geomagnetic field, and so you're mostly protected from cosmic ray and solar flare dangers at that 240-mile altitude. But once you leave the Earth's geomagnetic field on the way through deep space to Mars, you're fully exposed, and you might receive a radiation dose on the course of that round trip that is actually exceeding the career dose allowed for astronauts. You could have an increased cancer risk as a result of that exposure. So we haven't figured out whether we're going to just shield the astronauts through building a massive spacecraft, or whether we're going to come up with something more inventive to help them repair their DNA if it's damaged by radiation, or perhaps a smarter way of deflecting charged particles from the sun or from across the galaxy, these cosmic rays. So some of those techniques we can check out at the space station, some of the machinery, the life support gear, the biomedical monitoring equipment that we need, the food supply system and so forth. But some of the things we can only test in deep space, and that's why that deep space gateway at the moon makes a lot of sense. It is removed from the Earth's geomagnetic field, and it's a great testing ground for going to Mars.
And speaking about radiation in space, the astronauts that I've interviewed tell me that in their eyeball, cosmic rays will pass right through their eyeball, and you can see the tracks of cosmic rays inside your eye. Is that true, that you can actually see the tracks of cosmic rays in the fluid of your eyeball?
If you were outside looking in, that's what it would look like, a streak of light going across the liquid in someone's eye. However, from your point of view, you just see a flash that illuminates your retina for a moment. And so I experienced those same flashes from my Earth orbital flights. When you get out into deep space, you just see them more frequently, and it can actually be significant enough that it interrupts your sleep and wakes you up with that flash. So it's important that we see that as a symptom of the increased radiation exposure that we're getting, and then, of course, take some very effective measures to prevent the crew from being exposed to harmful doses of radiation. Once you get to Mars, you can burrow underground, and then there's plenty of shielding there. We haven't found a solution, as I mentioned, for the transit between the planets. Maybe we clad your spacecraft in a jacket of liquid helium or water, which absorbs most of the cosmic rays effectively. Maybe we
Okay, Tom, we have to take another short commercial break, but after that, we're going to talk about going on to Mars. Once again, this is Science Fantastic with Dr. Michio Kaku. You're listening to astronaut Tom Jones, author of the book Ask the Astronauts. And after the break, we're going to talk about what it would take for a manned mission to the planet Mars. So stay tuned.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com.
Here's a special message for those of you who owe the IRS at least $10,000 or more in back taxes. The IRS has special programs in place that could eliminate or reduce your tax debt by thousands of dollars. Call the Federal Tax Management Helpline that has been set up for you, 800-503-8625. Stop the wage garnishments, levies, and tax liens now. Once you've qualified and enrolled, the IRS will stop all the collection activities against you. These unique programs have been allocated to help the economy and significantly reduce reduce or eliminate your tax burden. The IRS is currently accepting reduced settlements and other favorable programs. You may qualify for substantial savings, so get the help you need. If you owe more than $10,000 in taxes, call for free information and to see if you qualify. Take down the number now for the Federal Tax Management Hotline, 800-503-8625. That's 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
This is Michio Kaku. A few years ago, I asked business owners and listeners to help keep free speech alive across America on great stations just like this one. I called out and you responded. Businesses across the country became advertisers on many of the programs you listen to every day. To those business owners, I say thank you. And to the listeners who bought products and services from these sponsors, I thank you as well for your support of these courageous businesses. As a listener, you need to continue to buy from the businesses who advertise on this radio station. And if you're a business owner, get involved. Become an advertiser and reach the customers you need to reach. To find out more about how you can advertise on my shows or others on this station, get involved now by calling 877-474-6605. That's 877-474-6605. 877-474-6605.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku on Science Fantastic. Today we have astronaut Tom Jones, author of the book Ask the Astronaut. He has spent 53 days in the weightlessness of outer space on four separate space shuttle missions, and he's experienced three spacewalks. But is that enough, given the fact that a round-trip mission to Mars may be 2 years or more? They have the problem of accidents, loneliness, cosmic radiation, all sorts of hazards facing our astronauts. But what happens when we get to Mars? So, Tom, tell us a little bit about what it would be like to walk on the surface of Mars. Its gravity, its temperature, what the air looks like. What is it like to walk on the surface of Mars?
Well, we have a pretty good idea, I think, from the explorations of our rovers that have been up there, the Curiosity rover and the Opportunity rover, the two that are still operating on the surface from NASA. And, of course, we see their videos, their pictures they've sent back. So we understand how the sky is a faint pink from the dust in the air. We've got a rust-colored surface almost all over the entire planet. The gravity is about one-third that of Earth, so you would have a light touch on the surface. Your spacesuit wouldn't weigh as much, and you'd have a feeling of being a little bit more capable. You're more agile. With your regular muscle strength, you could jump a lot higher and leap over rocks and obstacles, and it would be easier to explore outside even with a heavily insulated spacesuit. And you need the spacesuit because the atmosphere is pure carbon dioxide almost, and so it's toxic. If you tried to breathe it, you wouldn't survive for more than a few seconds. And the temperatures are worse than Antarctica, so it's down to minus 100 degrees at night, and even on the sunniest, warmest summer days on Mars, it barely gets above freezing. So it's a tough physical natural environment to exist in. Fortunately, you can use robot assistance to construct a habitat underground before you even get there. You might wind up living inside a lava tube that's been deposited or left behind by an ancient lava flow. And there you get radiation protection, a moderate temperature. You have the resources, water underneath a surface in the form of ice that we can tap in to supply a human outpost. So I think once we get there, we'll be able to make our way. It's just going to have to be recognized that it's going to be a more isolated, lonely, more hostile environment than we're used to here on Earth.
And there's a movie called The Martian starring Matt Damon. Many people applauded that. It was actually rather realistic, talking about what happens if you get marooned on Mars. Did you see the movie and some of the problems that you would encounter if all of a sudden you are stranded on Mars?
I saw the movie. I really enjoyed it, Professor, and I think it got high marks for accuracy in terms of depicting the Martian environment. For dramatic purposes, I think they shortcut a little bit of the physics, but what we can learn from that movie is that there are ways to subsist on the surface of Mars using your ingenuity and some tools that we bring from Earth. So, for example, we would have a greenhouse up there. We'd use the carbon dioxide atmosphere and natural sunlight or solar energy to light up a greenhouse 24/7 and grow crops up there. The soil is amenable to that, and we might grow not just potatoes, but a variety of crops that would use to feed the crew and recycle the carbon dioxide that they exhale and produce oxygen, for example. I think if we had a nuclear reactor, we'd be even better off on the surface of Mars because we'd have no reliance on solar cycles, and the winter and summer seasons up there would be meaningless to us. We could use that constant nuclear energy to run the outpost. I think that's a very promising avenue to pursue. And so I think we can imagine living on Mars as we do having scientists at the South Pole today. They're isolated from their families and friends, but they do have communication. There's going to be a time delay getting messages back and forth from Mars, but we can overcome that with practice and with the advances we have in digital and 3D virtual reality technology, for example.
Okay, and some people think that long-term, not short-term, but long-term, the goal is to terraform Mars, that is, make Mars Earth-like by, for example, injecting methane gas and other greenhouse gases to induce a greenhouse effect on Mars to heat it up, to create a new home in outer space. What are your thoughts? And, of course, the time frame is enormous, but what are your thoughts about the long-term goal of one day terraforming Mars?
That's been a science fiction topic out there for a couple of generations, and it sounds like over the course of hundreds of years that might be practical. You could also see the polar caps on Mars with soot, just dark, black, tiny dust particles that would absorb more solar energy and then raise the temperature.
Okay, Tom, we have to take another short commercial break, but after that we're going to continue a discussion of going to Mars. Our special guest is Dr. Tom Jones. Once again, this is Dr. Michio Kaku, and this is Science Fantastic. Stay tuned as we talk about going to Mars and then maybe even Titan and beyond. Stay tuned.
You're listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Message and data rates may apply.
Oh my gosh, that's Frank Thomas.
No.
Yes, that's him. Go ahead.
Excuse me, are you Frank Thomas?
Yes, I am.
I bet you get recognized a lot.
I was a pretty good ball player.
You were?
Some people thought so.
Sorry, we recognize you from those Nugenix commercials.
Oh yeah? That's great.
So does Nugenix really work?
Oh yeah, I really can feel the difference. My workouts are better, and I feel a lot more energetic.
I wish my husband would use Nugenix.
It's so easy to get started. All you have to do is send one simple text.
Text the word PRIME44 to 42424 for a complimentary bottle of award-winning Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Its unique man-boosting formula is powered by Testofen, a patented key ingredient clinically researched to help a man feel stronger, leaner, more energetic, and more passionate.
And you're going to like the difference, too.
Text PRIME44 to 42424 for a complimentary bottle of Nugenix. Samples are not available in stores. Text PRIME44 to 42424.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
This is the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. With us today is an astronaut, Tom Jones, author of the book, Ask the Astronaut. So let's say a few things about Mars. Some people think we want to, for one day, terraform Mars. Elon Musk, the billionaire behind SpaceX, has even floated the idea of using nuclear weapons, like an airburst over the polar ice caps to initiate the melting of the ice caps, because there's plenty of water on Mars in ice form, to begin the process of terraforming, and then, of course, have solar satellites orbiting Mars to heat up the surface. Well, Tom, what are your thoughts about these very long-term ideas?
I think they're very long-term ideas. Professor, I think they're unlikely to happen in the next couple of hundred years. I believe that we could probably get away with not having to terraform Mars to make it habitable. We could go underground. There are large lava tubes all over the surface of Mars because it's a very volcanic world. We could use those old lava tubes to shelter colonies with tens of thousands of people if need be. My question is why we would want to do that. I think we would be better off using the solar energy in space, the resources on the moon and the nearby asteroids to protect the Earth and to develop, you know, heavy industry off the planet, preserving Earth as a habitable zone, a sort of a nature preserve where people live, but they don't have to have all the dirty, heavy industry on the surface of the planet. If we do that, we probably don't have to terraform another planet like Mars. So I think Mars' value lies in the information it can give us about the origins of life, and that very early era of the solar system might be disturbed or destroyed altogether if we try to terraform the planet. We need to get those clues about whether life is elsewhere in our solar system and whether we're alone or not.
Okay, and it's been 50 years or so since we were last on the moon, and what's the difference? Some people say that one difference is the fact that commercial enterprises are now jumping on board. We have Elon Musk and SpaceX, and we even have Amazon, Jeff Bezos of Amazon and the Blue Origins program. And some people think that this is a game changer with private enterprise, with cost dropping, with reusable rockets on the horizon. suggestion that we could be entering a new golden age because we're no longer depending upon superpower rivalry where cost was no question. We're not talking about Silicon Valley billionaires, competition, reusable rockets. Some people think we could be entering a new golden era of space travel. What are your thoughts about a new golden era?
I think your question, the way you set it up, is very insightful in that we are now not having to duplicate the Apollo program to return to the moon 50 years later. We can take advantage of these commercial companies that have so much innovation, entrepreneurship. They've got the get up and go to rapidly advance some of their ideas in a way that the government can't. And so, for example, if we want to return astronauts to the surface of the moon, rather than have the government, NASA, build a big new lander to carry astronauts down there, we might ask one of these commercial space companies, or a combination of them, to develop a low-cost, lightweight, innovative lander with new techniques, new technology, taking advantage of the digital technology that we have today, the 3D printing, the composite materials that we use now in aircraft manufacture. All those could be combined to make a landing vehicle much more inexpensive than a typical government approach to buying it would be. And that might enable us to do a lot more on the moon than just going the complete government route. That's my hope.
Well, we have two visions for the future. Jeff Bezos has publicly said, and he's the richest man on Earth, he has publicly said that he wants the Earth to be a park. The Earth to be a park and all the dirty, polluting, heavy industries to be placed in outer space. And on the moon, he wants to set up an Amazon-type system of delivering packages on a daily basis to the moon. Sort of like an Amazonification of the lunar program. And then we have Elon Musk talking about being a multi-planet species. We need an insurance policy because it's too dangerous to put life on just one planet. So what are your thoughts about a new vision, not just competing with the Russians, but A, making the moon part of a system whereby the Earth becomes a park, or Elon Musk's vision of becoming a multi-planet species? What are your thoughts?
Well, those are two interesting options for us. I've heard both of these space entrepreneurs talk about their vision for the future. I believe that it's a great idea to shift a lot of the heavy industry off the surface of the Earth. The energy production, for example, we can use solar energy or nuclear technologies to beam power back to Earth and eliminate the hazards to the environment that some of those technologies would generate. You know, shift from fossil fuels in the next few decades to energy produced off the planet. And the same with industrial activity. If we've got dirty chemical or metalworking processes, those might more profitably be done in space, and we could help clean up the Earth's environment a bit. So that's a promising avenue to pursue. There are plenty of natural materials on the moon and, again, the nearby asteroids to provide us with the building materials to create factories and habitats off the planet. At Mars, I believe that, again, the value of Mars is as a knowledge reservoir about the origins of biology in our solar system. And I think that we don't need to have humans in great numbers on Mars. I view it more as a research preserve like that of Antarctica. And I believe that just having humans on the moon and the nearby asteroids would provide us with the insurance policy, that multi-planet species base that Elon Musk has been talking about.
Okay, and then even moving beyond that, some people think that Titan, a moon of Saturn, could become a refueling station because there's plenty of methane material, liquids and gases on Titan. We have about 10 seconds. What are your thoughts about Titan? Then we got to close.
Well, we know that Titan's got the raw materials, and it might have a warm ocean beneath its icy crust. And so I think we should explore it with robots and maybe check it out as a future human abode, too.
Okay. Well, once again, our special guest today was Dr. Tom Jones, astronaut, author of the book Ask the Astronaut. And you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Check out my latest book, The Future of Humanity. Go to my website, mkaku.org, and it talks about becoming one day a multi-planet species. Not anytime soon, of course, but centuries into the future, a multi-planet species. Once again, this is Dr. Michio Kaku for Science Fantastic.
This is GCN, the Genesis. advance this communications radio network.
Age-related macular degeneration is the leading cause of blindness in people over 55. But with treatment, it can be slowed down, stopped, and in some cases, reversed. Make sure you see your grandchildren grow. Protect your vision by requesting information about diagnosing and treating AMD. Call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS for a free packet on reversing or managing AMD. Or go to the website fightblindness.org, where I found so much helpful information. Or again, call 1-800-BLINDNESS today.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.